Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. We trust you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving, spent time with family and friends, and just enjoyed the time off as well. In addition to thinking of all the things that we're thankful for, we dive back into the meat of the political season, the lame duck session. We'll talk a little bit more specifically about the lame duck and the bad martini. But, Jim, the good martini comes to us from Louisiana. It's not a huge surprise, but it's definitely reassuring news. All the polls we've seen, which aren't that many, show Bill Cassidy above 50% in his effort to unseat Mary Landrieu, and he's up by double digits. Now, as you've reported in the Morning Jolt today, we're seeing some numbers from early voting for this runoff, and it looks like everything is dropping off in terms of early voting, except for registered Republicans, and the biggest drop-off is among African-Americans in Louisiana, which means very bad things for Mary Landrieu.
This is not exactly the most surprising good martini we've seen in a while, but it definitely stands out as kind of what we would want to see if you were a Republican and you wanted to see a good chance for victory. I'd actually gone back and checked, and you don't usually see that much of a drop-off in a runoff election in Louisiana. I guess because of their, quirky little system in which, November's first Tuesday is really the effective primary day. People are used to voting in December, unlike in some states like Georgia, where it's usually resolved on Election Day in November. Turnout is down a little bit amongst most groups, but not amongst Republicans. Now, this because Louisiana is a state that's got a really high number of registered Democrats and a low number of registered Republicans, but the Republicans win a lot anyway, meaning there are a lot of people who register as Democrats and just never change it. Even if their voting patterns indicate they vote more Republican. Basically, it looks good. No Republican should be taking this one for granted yet, but certainly between the early vote numbers and the public polls we've seen, it certainly looks like there's going to be a very big Cassidy victory, or at least a very solid Cassidy victory on Saturday.
Yes. I mean, he was basically tied with her, even with another conservative in the race in the November election. And then Mary Landrieu's accusations about where was Bill during Hurricane Katrina? Oh, well, it turns out he was setting up a surge hospital for refugees in the parking lot of a Kmart. And then, of course, her failed attempt to get the Keystone Pipeline bill out of the Senate. It has not been a good runoff campaign, I think you could say, for Mary Landrieu.
No, they're in the cooking spaghetti stage in which you just, throw up against the wall and see what sticks.
On to the work of the lame duck Congress, of which Landrieu is a member, as is Cassidy. Let's talk about the Republican strategy here, Jim. We've anticipated the president's executive action on amnesty for a long time. We knew it was coming after the election. It finally came in mid-November. Now Republicans are trying to figure out what to do with it, particularly as funding for the government ends on December 11th. On the one hand, most Republicans know that if there's any sort of a partial government shutdown, the public is largely going to blame Republicans. At the same time, most Republicans agree that the president has outstepped his constitutional authority, something he basically admitted in that speech in Chicago last week to hecklers. Hey, I changed the law for you. If you don't change the funding on that, are you effectively letting him get away with it? So a lot of different things to consider here. What do you think we're going to see?
I guess it's some version of an attempt to get a funding bill passed that will not affect the immigration portion of government. In other words, no DHS funding, but otherwise, there's this thing called regular order, which is how we used to fund the government. We used to pass appropriations bills, and we used to do about 13 of them, and you wouldn't lump them all together to some sort of giant omnibus bill that everybody had to vote on or shut down the government. You'd think that you pursued that option, you'd end up having a nice situation in which you could at least, isolate the impact of a standoff over funding the government. There will be an effort to defund this. I don't know if this is going to be an easy win for Republicans. I think your assessment is correct that whatever they do, somebody is going to be left frustrated and feel like there should have been a bigger or bolder step to do this. And I think that also this is kind of exposing a division between the Appropriations Committee Republicans and the rest of the Republican caucus. Or, the Appropriations Committee Republicans want the government to be funded. They want things to go on and money to be spent and for the trains to run on time and everything to operate as normal. Whereas I think a lot of, particularly a lot of Republicans in the House feel like this has been a not just a you know, merely unwise decision, but a constitutionally dangerous decision that they really need to fight back with against every tool in their arsenal. And, you know, they just don't, I'm not so sure every Republican gets that.
Jim, you talked about regular order, and obviously that has been the way historically that the government was funded. I remember during the shutdown last year when Republicans, especially in the House, obviously, tried to fund various things other than the health care bill and Obamacare. The president had this, well, we can't pick and choose. We got to be responsible and do the whole thing kind of approach. Do you expect him to do that again? And if he does, do you expect it to work?
Well, recent history has given us some tough lessons in that area, hasn't it, Greg? In other words, if you're a person of the right, never count on things going your way. That way, if it does, you're pleasantly surprised. And if it doesn't, at least you're prepared.
I think that's a very good rule of thumb to go by, especially in Washington. All right, on to the crazy martini now. And the president is spending pretty much all of today meeting with advisors and civil rights leaders. I haven't seen a full list of who's going to be there, talking about the response to Ferguson and ways to work on this divide between black communities and law enforcement and the tension that exists there. And we've also seen in the wake of Ferguson, not only protests there, but in other cities around the country, largely blocking traffic. And today, it was Washington, D.C.'s turn as folks blocked 14th Street, which if you know anything about Washington, D.C., that's kind of an important road going into town from the south. And so the morning commute, which is usually horrific, was just that much worse today. So, Jim, what do you make of this particular tactic from the protesters?
Greg, are you amazed no one's been run over yet?
In this town, probably, yeah.
I mean, I've often said to myself, if I ever encountered that, there's about 50-50 chances I'm going to end up with a vehicular homicide charge. because, like, dude, you don't lie down in front of me when I'm driving to get someplace. I don't care what you're protesting. Also, Greg, do you remember, wasn't there, like, the greatest scandal in the history of Earth? Shutting down a lane to a bridge?
Yes.
Right? Wasn't that like the worst thing anybody in government could ever do ever to anyone? Well, the last kind of point to make on this. I remember this. Apparently this tactic began back during the Vietnam War protests. And I remember reading a memoir. I don't know if it was David Horowitz, but it was someone in that who had been a lefty radical and had kind of, you know, grown out of that. And one of the things was that they had this discussion of, we're going to lie down in traffic during rush hour and we'll stop traffic and that'll show everybody how much we're opposed to the war. And he tried to explain to his fellow protesters that that won't change anyone's mind. All it's going to do is make people angry. All it's going to do is, you know, stop Joe Lunchpail from getting home to see his kids and his wife. That's not going to win anybody over. And it's very clear that none of the protesters care, because it really wasn't about changing minds. It really wasn't about all the things they say. It's about, it's a form of, you could say it is kind of a form of a tantrum. Or a form of public performance. Look at me. Aren't I special? Aren't I important? My belief in my cause is much more important than your need to get to where you need to go on roads that your taxes paid for at this moment. And it's a supremely obnoxious form. And there are times I periodically wonder if Darwin's law should apply. And if there were some people getting run over and hit by cars, it'd be a useful indicator that this is not an appropriate form of protest. And people would learn. But it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. We will see if anyone does get hit by a car by the end of the day. It would be unfortunate. I don't wish for anyone to have any broken bones or something like that. But on the other hand, if it deterred this bad tactic from being used in the future, it might not be the worst outcome that you could possibly get from this.
Yeah, the logic gap here is what really gets me. It's not like somebody's going to be stuck in traffic and going, well, you know, now that I'm 2 hours late for work, let me just tell you, I've reconsidered my position on this issue entirely, and I've now flipped to the side of the people who are ruining my day.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. In that, you know, I wonder if, like, I mean, actually, it'd be kind of curious if you polled drivers before they left for their commute, and then you polled them after they were delayed on their commute, whether people actually changed their minds in the opposite direction by a bunch of jerks who were deciding to hold up traffic.
Great start to the week.
Hope you didn't need to commute today, you know.
Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.